Atomic batteries to power. Turbine to speed.
Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, Mark, like a job for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Perhaps it's time to approach the question of UFOs again. For we can only hope that if we are being studied by aliens, it is with more thoroughness and care than we have focused on them.
Dr. Viviani, what do you think of that Leonard Nimoy comment?
Yeah, forget the report that just came out. Let's talk about Mr.
Spock. Nimoy. I was waiting for the Star Trek reference to come into here.
We were so into this thing. And then
now you've got to finish the talk about it. Go.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the otherworldly David Cohen.
Hello, Douglas.
Now, is that you or is that you on tape? I'm trying to hear, am I actually hearing you? Well, 2 minutes ago, we just heard you on tape from a prior show.
That was a prior show we just heard.
Yes, and that was a show
There was some breaking news that you guys just mentioned and then never got back to the entire show. You never talked about the bombshell news. I still don't know what it is.
Well, we were visiting with Dr. John Viviani, the UFO aficionado extraordinaire, and he is back because we
He's here.
He's here. Not on tape, but he's on tape as well. We just heard.
We just heard him, but he's actually sitting with us.
Exactly. This year, we've seen significant developments in the world of the extraterrestrial and the possibilities of life in the universe other than here on Earth. Interesting. Since the dawn of time, caveman drawings, right? Remember these caveman drawings? And Egyptian pyramids? And Star Trek? I mean, the beyond, the man has searched for life other than on this planet.
And just man.
Humankind.
No, women had nothing to do with it.
Women don't search. They just search for they're a little more realistic.
Man for years.
They search for a man on Earth. Men search for women on other planets. That's the difference in the gender. Everything Old is New Again is going there once again to explore this age-old question. We're going to explore the reaches of outer space as well as the limits of our imagination with our resident ufologist extraordinaire, Dr. John Viviani from Melville, New York. Welcome.
Oh, it's an honor to be back here again.
Oh, you sound honored.
Yeah, it fulfills my dreams. It is ufologist, not ufoologist.
All right,
ufologist.
What, I said UFO? What did I say?
Ufologist. Ufologist, you.
Well, I'm going to just dive into it, and we're going to explore here a little bit some of the new news. I thought this was very interesting. The space station, if you've seen this year, had two separate postings of what appeared to be UFOs circling around the Earth. If you look at YouTube, you can find it, or any Google, you'll see they've had two separate sightings. And I think it's very interesting that NASA, if you hear this clip, you'll hear them telling the people on the space station. They call them astronauts still.
You're asking me? I have no idea. I'm not sure what you mean by space station, so I'm already
Well, we have a space station or orbiting the Earth.
And they're taking pictures of these alleged UFOs.
Well, they're taking video. It's a natural video that runs 24/7.
I see.
And all of a sudden, NASA tells them this.
If you start on from A, start from all over again, and you skip A, B, C, and then you start at Delta.
Yeah, I'll have to close out and open it back up again.
Copy.
What they were telling them to do, I know it's hard to figure it out, but the idea was NASA was telling these astronauts.
In the space station?
In the space station, once they showed these pictures or video, hey, turn the feed off. And this is how you do it. And the astronaut was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to reboot my computer once I do that, because the only way I know how to do this. And they said, yeah, do it. So why is NASA telling astronauts in the space station to cut a video feed that's on 24/7 all the time? All of a sudden, they see some object. Oh, cut it.
Why wouldn't they want to keep videoing it?
Dr. Viviani, why?
Oh, well, because it's something they want to cover up. If there's something that they can't explain, they have a history of not coming clean on certain sightings. There's more than one video, by the way.
Well, I've got two here. I got one for sure. You can look this up if you like on the dailymail.uk. It's a cigar-shaped UFO spotted from the space station. And I'm showing it to you, I'll put it online on our website, everythingoldisnewagain.biz. You can see it clearly orbiting the Earth. It, of course, could be a satellite, but that doesn't look like a satellite from our perspective. Am I wrong?
Is that a cigar?
It could be.
It could be.
Sometimes cigar is not a cigar.
Space debris. They could have had a cigar that didn't taste so good.
Now, those are, that's not just a still. They have videos of that.
Yes.
And they also have ones of, did you have the ones?
Yeah, here's another one. Now, this one, if you take a look at EWAO.com and then take a look for NASA footage of UFO, you'll see one that was, that's right here, that looks like the 2001 pod, if you remember that movie, where Hal would not let that astronaut back into the space station. And there's the shuttle. So it's not the shuttle. Like, you know, you could see it's clearly.
Right.
So this is new information that I'm just throwing out that, yeah, we have tricks with cameras and angles and all this. But, Doctor, why do you think that this possibly could be some legit visitation from another species?
Well, they said it's not. It's not ice objects on the lens. They can't explain what it is. It's not a natural moving object the way that some of the other videos I've seen where it goes as like a streak of light and it goes back up like 90 degrees. There's other ones I saw where they're orbiting the Earth and something comes up like a light beam comes up from Earth as if they're shooting at it. It's not a natural. It doesn't look like a natural motion.
And I think Theodore Loader, who is a professor emeritus of Earth Services for the University of New Hampshire, and this is a legit dude, man. This is not like some goof. He's on tenure. I'm sure he could get fired for saying something like this. Intelligent beings from other star systems have been and are visiting our planet Earth. They are variously referred to as visitors, others, star people, etc. They are visiting Earth now.
And who is this guy?
I'll tell you a second. This is, I already told you.
Dr.
This
McCoy.
This is not a matter of conjecture or wishful thinking. Theodore Loader III, PhD, Professor Emeritus of Earth Services in the University of New Hampshire.
Hmm.
I mean, come on.
So has NASA released anything officially about this?
They have released the video inadvertently, and it was recorded by people, and therefore it's now on YouTube.
But they haven't addressed
NASA's not addressing it.
No, they're not. Okay. The only thing is Gordon Cooper addresses it. One of the
astronauts, right?
Yeah, was he the last man on the moon, I think? Here's another couple of pictures of it from the Daily Mail. So, I mean, you know, this is just something. All I'm saying is that when you listen to Coast to Coast, a station, a show that I love, sometimes they get a little off the beaten path. But, you know, if there's 100 claims, 1,000,000 claims, it just needs one claim to have some legitimacy, and these seem to have some bit of legitimacy.
Stuff from NASA, whether it's inadvertently or not, it's just like some guy on an iPhone.
So do you think what'll happen next? Do you think they'll ever address what that is?
Eventually, they probably not in the near future, but some people say they may, because there's more and more evidence coming, more and more, especially with the internet, and people can access stuff that you couldn't 20 years ago. So you're getting more and more evidence.
All right, let's see what, I mean, I don't know, what do you think about this, but.
What was that? That didn't make any sense to me. That makes no joke. That's what, it's no sense to me. It's what, how's there a joke there? That to me makes, he's a lunatic.
The reason why I throw in there a little Gilbert Gottfried is I think the general public is more of the attitude of Gilbert Gottfried than us, than me and my compatriot here. I think that's the reason why we're not going to see much, because there's no demand for this information. It's disseminated on the internet, and we all know the internet has a lot of junk on it, and I think a lot of people just take it with a grain of salt and move on.
Right.
That's my thought. I mean, what do I know? But I don't see any press conferences coming unless the public demands it, and I don't see the public demanding it. We've got a lot of other stuff on Earth to deal with, too. So I don't know that we're really diving into this issue seriously enough. And our space program has been cut significantly by this administration and the last. For the last 16 years, NASA has been cut to nothing. So, I mean, you know, they don't even have the resources anymore to
investigate. Wouldn't it be great if there was a visit? That's what we kind of need right now, right? We need a big distraction like that. Aliens, right? Just to get our minds off of everything.
I agree. We'll be back when everything goes through again. Wow, is that loud? They're coming in the next door.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
The spaceman came and had his way with me. He came back last night, but this time he brought a friend with him.
This again was your husband's bowling night, coincidentally enough.
Coincidentally, yes. And the friend, however, Howard did not participate, just stood around and watched and did take pictures.
He took pictures?
Yes, he
did.
Well,
now this upsets me personally because this shows the extent of what pornography has gone to. It's in outer space. For all we know, you might be on the cover of some smutty outer space rag.
That's from Fernwood Tonight, if you remember that show, an obscure show with Martin Mull and Fred Willard from the 1970s. They're talking about UFOs and interviewing a fictitious visitor, someone that was visited by...
It was a fictitious talk show, and the whole premise was, right.
Sort of like this.
Exactly.
And we're back on Everything Old is New Again with David Cohen, Douglas Viviani. We are with our special guest, Dr. John Viviani, the ufologist extraordinaire from Long Island. He's the ufologist on Long Island that visits this show.
Right. He's an exclusive.
In fact, there's no one else in the nation of the United States of America, the
world. The world, really.
There's no one else in the world that comes to Everything Old is New Again on a regular basis to visit with us to talk about UFOs.
You got to get a life, Dr. Viviani.
You might be the only one that has the courage to do that.
I know. I'm
Or the time.
I got the time. A lot of free time.
Speaking of time and space, we could go there and say the next section here, I'd like to visit with an idea that something that happened. Again, this year, 2016, there was a strong signal heard from a neighboring star system.
Star system.
And it was received by, again, a legitimate organization that reported this. It was observed by the Raton 600 radio telescope in Russia. Now, Russians are very open to this. Their government has been open to UFOs.
Yes.
That you tell me, what's Russia been involved with in terms of versus the U.S.? Where are we going with
they that? Russia has opened up their KGB files, all kinds of files on UFOs. They did war games where they were actually trying to, they would do like war games with moving nuclear missiles around just to try and get UFO sightings, and they said, look, we do XYZ, and we, you know, they come over on nuclear warheads, and they do stuff like that on purpose.
Allegedly, the aliens would view the movement of UFOs in Russia.
No, of the nuclear stuff.
I'm sorry, the nuclear weapons in Russia, and say, wait a minute, are these guys, is this country getting ready to use them? Maybe we need to intercede. Let's, as a UFO society, take a look and get a little closer and see what's going on. That's what you're saying.
That was kind of like set the bait to try and say.
And it worked.
Yes, well, according to them, it did. They had sightings.
And but there the Russian government saying this. Right. Now, of course, they haven't always been honest.
What do you mean, Doug? We've always been honest.
No, they're more transparent than almost anybody. I think Brazil is also, but we don't open anything up.
Yeah. What was that? Who's we? Out of everything old is new, I'm going to take a look at it. I want to take a look at the signal itself. I think we can hear the signal in question in this audio tape. I can't remember.
Scientists and astronomers are investigating a strange radio signal coming from deep space. The signal was intercepted by the Russian Raton 600 radio telescope in Zelenchukskaya, Russia, back in May 2015.
All right, 2015. Sorry.
Right, but it was news this year. I even heard about this one.
Okay.
But I had also heard that it was really nothing. They basically came out and said, no, it was not from some alien world.
Well, they said it could have been like a reflection, but then it was coming from different directions. So I've seen different reports.
Well, let me say this. When you say they, this is the determining fact. You hear the news come out from the people that heard this, and they released, you heard that. That signal. That was it. You hear that signal, right? And then the media or someone gets a feel for that and says, wait a minute. Let's make a story. We've got to spin this, man. This can't be from another civilization. We have to say it was an echo. It was an echo off the sun. I'm just saying, you got to check that source. I, personally, if I was the ufologist, I would go ahead and check with the organization itself that found and heard this and ask them.
Well, I thought it was somebody official, like some U.S. agency basically said it's nothing.
Yes,
it's really
always
not.
A U.S. agency that's telling Russia, no, your ufologists and your UFO findings and all this are wrong. Always the U.S. is saying that. Always.
They're always telling me this, Doug. I can't get any UFO info out there without U.S. saying, no, you're full of the Russian poppycock.
I'm hopping a plane to
Well, you
Moscow
can go on the
week.
Internet next time before you come on board. You knew we were talking about this. You got to do some investigation. So what? No, but what is your investigation? I know you had
my
one.
Investigation.
What did your investigation yield with regard to this signal? Legit or not?
Breaking news, right here.
Special investigation. I don't think it was proven to be false. It was just like, oh, we don't know what it is. So again, you get like, it could be this, it could be that, but it hasn't been disproven. It's like, it could be a reflection, but we don't know what it is. So this one was pretty interesting because, you know, they said it was coming from multiple directions. Not just one, like the sun, different mm-hmm. directions. Not just
so it could have been communication between ships, between portions of civilizations out there, and we're just hearing it, like one signal to the next. Like if we have a signal to an airplane, you know, and there is a
few. I think that they did admit it was not, they don't think it was something natural, but it could have been, they're claiming it was a reflection of one of our signals coming back.
Yeah, this is the thing here. Now all of a sudden we got this American, this Nick Sutziff, from Texas A&M University, astronomer. All right, so he's not a ufologist; he's an astronomer. So he has a little less less
gravity.
Yeah, an astrophysicist, not up there. Like
he says it wouldn't be surprising if we were just listening to ourselves as the signal was observed in a part of the radio spectrum used by the military for communication between ground stations and satellites. What? Then why did the Russians hear it? It doesn't make any sense. This guy. What is he saying?
I didn't understand a word you just said.
That's because he's talking double talk. You got to look at these guys. This is not an emeritus like they had the last guy from we had on the last section of the show. This is some goof from the Texas of A&M University. He's an astronomer. What is that? Some guy that makes the hamburgers and at night he's got a little telescope. He looks outside. Who is this guy?
If I'm not mistaken, that. It took a while.
He goes on the top of the roof of the cafeteria, looks every night, and he says, oh, I think this could be communications between ground stations and satellites. He's full of baloney.
The rebuttal took a while to come out. They admitted
they didn't. Of course, because they couldn't find anybody. Found this guy. Said, he's making hamburgers. He's $100,000. Say you're an astronomer from Texas A&M.
Hamburgers.
Where's the making hamburgers?
He's a chef in the cafeteria.
You're just making that
up. They say he's an astronomer. There are no astronomers at a Texas. Wait, did you at the college? Are there astronomers employed by your college?
You major in astronomy.
So some student. Hey, you want your student loans paid? Put a microscope on the roof of your dorm and take a look. Call yourself an astronomer and tell the world that this is not a legit signal. Give me a break, please. It gets me riled up. This is why I need Stuart Friedman. Let's see what he has to say.
Four major conclusions after 38 years study and investigation.
38 years.
First, that the evidence is overwhelming that planet Earth is being visited by intelligently controlled extraterrestrial spacecraft. Second, the subject of flying saucers represents a kind of cosmic Watergate.
That's why.
By that, I mean that some few people in the governments of the United States, France, England, have undoubtedly known since July 1947 that the planet has been visited. Third, none of the arguments made against conclusions 1 and 2 stand up under careful scrutiny. Their arguments sound very good.
They sound good,
until
Scott?
You check them against the evidence, and then they collapse.
Like I'm saying.
And finally, fourth, this is the biggest story of the millennium.
Yes.
This is the planet Earth.
Everything old is new again.
By alien spacecraft.
Yes.
Successful cover-up of the best data, the bodies and the wreckage.
Yes.
For almost 49 years.
Thank you.
So let me just understand. So anyone who says that UFOs are legitimate, those are legitimate, qualified speakers. But anyone who is opposing UFOs is basically a guy flipping burgers.
No, but you got to look. You really got to look.
That's basically what you are.
Gotta look.
Anyone who's for it is full of...
They say this guy, he's an astronomer at a university. That's nothing compared to this guy who is Theodore Loader, Professor Emeritus of Earth Services, University of New Hampshire. He's a legit dude.
What does that mean? He's a professor.
He graduated, and now he's a professor.
What's the difference?
This is Everything Old Is New Again.
We are talking about UFOs, the ufologist extraordinaire, Dr. John Viviani from Melville, Long Island, an extraordinarily vast
gifted
knowledge and gifted individual. Some of that gift has to do with the gift of gab with regard to UFOs. And we're here, we're going to investigate something else that's happened in 2016.
NASA announced the discovery of a distant planet that may be habitable. Labeled as Kepler-22b, this planet orbits a star that is very similar to our sun. And most important, the orbit of this planet is at the perfect distance to maintain the right temperature for the existence of liquid water and life.
All right, I'm going to play another clip right after that so we can dive into a whole discussion of planets that are close to us that could be like an Earth 2, and we'll explore that. But there's a second planet that was discovered.
Scientists have discovered a new planet known as Proxima b.
We have found a terrestrial planet orbiting Proxima Centauri. It's the nearest exoplanet we will ever found because it's the nearest star to the Sun, and we are very excited about it.
Excited because it's not only close to our solar system, but it may in fact be very similar to Earth.
The Russians again, by the way, you notice. Right.
But, okay. But the announcers were actual burger flippers. Astronomers, so...
Exactly. Anybody, hey, listen, anybody can get behind a microphone and talk.
Where are those
authority.
Two clips from? Where'd you get that?
Those are clips from the internet, just these
just random internet
stories.
Yeah.
Lame stories, lame presentation. But I wanted to give you some legitimacy to show that they have been reported. There are two planets, Kepler-22b and Proxima b. That what? Dr. Viviani, what do you learn about these planets investigations?
My investigations. Yes. Proxima is about 4 light years away. They say that there's definitely water on that planet. As a matter of fact, a lot of water on that planet. So almost like a water world type, Kevin Costner, world type planet. Which just shows if there's water, there could be, you know, obviously some sort of life around. As opposed to the other planet, Kepler, is more of a rocky planet. Where they said it's very Earth-like, possibility of Earth-like atmosphere. The size is proportional to Earth, the distance from the sun.
Proxima b, the degrees, like the temperature.
The temperature, yeah.
Is like 86 to 104, so it's like Vegas, you know? So you can live there with the water. So the question I'm going to throw out first. If there are those two planets that we have found close to us, that's relatively close to us, that could support life like this and like our life, why do you not think that in the billions of planets and solar systems there are out there, that there aren't any more? David.
Well, I'm not saying there can't be. I wouldn't name it Kepler-22b because I think that's a hemorrhoid cream, isn't it?
Right.
But look, I would imagine there are. Yeah, sure.
Aha!
Odds are there's got to be, right?
And if there are, then at some point they build a ship and they can visit us. No, doctor?
Oh, absolutely. I happen to think there's tons of planets that could have life on it, you know, because the universe is so vast. Now, these are just a couple because they're excited because they're, quote, close, but closer still would take us 70,000 years to reach Proxima using our technology.
Well, we'd be dead by then.
Yeah,
well,
that we can travel.
So, yeah, that's what you have to assume.
All right.
And we can travel in space, and we can go speed of light, which would mean 4 years from now we land on Proxima.
Cool.
We got a ship. We're landing. We're going to inhabit this Earth-like planet with the first humans there. It'll be a male and a female, or two males and two females. That's a little bit difficult. We're going to find out. But the astronauts will be like an Adam and Eve type. So the question is...
Why wouldn't it be like 10 guys and one girl?
Well,
references? Man and one woman?
If I was on that ship and it was a male with me and two females, those two females undoubtedly would be attracted to the other male. And therefore, there will be a lot of problems in interplay with relationships.
You got 4 years.
Yeah,
there'll be
some problems. Yeah. So my situation is maybe they need to be married first. But
okay.
Whatever. Now, you're landing on the planet.
Because that wouldn't result in any tension.
No.
Right.
So now, maybe the oil should not really look so good either. I'm just saying. They should all look like me. In this way, there's really no temptation. So as far as I'm concerned, you're landing on this planet. I'm proposing something to both of you. I'd like to know if you could bring 5 things to this planet. Remember, you've already got water and some vegetation. What are you bringing to this planet to not only survive, but to enjoy your rest of your life because you're not coming back to Earth? Who wants to dive into this?
First of all, you're talking to a guy who, when I go to my sister's house to have a barbecue outside, I have to have bug spray. So I'm not the outdoorsy type to be the explorer.
So you're bringing some...
That's the wrong question to ask. Probably bug spray.
Bug spray.
Yeah.
Well, that's legit. Why not?
Okay. That's what you feel is necessary. Feel free. Anything else? That's it. You're bringing bug spray.
Okay. How about a solar generator so I can have electricity?
All right. What are you going to use electricity on?
I have to bring my iPad to listen to music.
And
how are you going to get
getting
a signal,
music?
Though?
Yeah,
no,
right.
I pre-taped music. So,
And there's not that much music out there that's any good they care about. What else?
I need my iPad for music and reading because there's going to be a lot of downtime. There's nothing to do.
All right. What about a marriage counsel for you and your wife?
That's a good idea.
That would be a good one. David, What are you bringing?
I'm going to bring probably a gun with me because I'm going to hate it and probably kill myself. I'm going to probably bring a guitar, because you were saying there's no music. I can actually play music, so I need something to entertain myself.
Right, okay.
I bring some many books.
Right.
What, I mean, what are you going to do?
As I said, download them on the iPad.
Yeah, if I can, right. But right. The, okay,
that's
yes, I like
solar,
that idea.
Yeah,
right.
That.
Okay,
solar
good.
Power for your
so I got the iPad and the solar
power.
You really
power.
Haven't thought it through. I have.
Well, yeah, about, you asked me 30 seconds
well,
ago.
Well, yeah, about Data. I sent this outline weeks ago to you
data
guys.
Data from Star Trek I would bring. The robot Data.
He doesn't exist.
I bring my cats. How's that? I bring clean underwear. What do you want from me?
This is what you bring.
I bring a hammer.
You bring a cow and you bring a bull, first off, so you can have cows.
Oh, they fit on the spaceship.
Well, how are you going to get them on the spaceship?
This is a fictitious spaceship. They got human beings. You can have a cow. Now, after that, you're going to bring some seeds for tomato plants. You're going to bring some seeds for barley and wheat, okay?
For beer?
Now, what you're going to do is also you're going to bring this, like a pizza oven. You know the pizza ovens? You're going to bring one of those with your solar panel. There are your five things. You land. You set up the pizza oven with the solar panel, so you've got electricity to heat that
oven. What if it rains and snows? What are you going to do?
You're planting these seeds. You're going to have yourself barley and hops.
But what do you do in the meantime if there's, like, bad weather?
You've got enough supplies to get this going. And then you're going to you milk the cow, and you're going to make some mozzarella cheese. So every day you're going to be able, with the barley and hops and the wheat, you're going to be able to make bread. You're going to be able to use the tomatoes for tomato sauce, and you're going to have your mozzarella cheese from what I just supplied. You're going to make pizza and live off pizza and maybe even a mushroom plant or two, and you have a nice mushroom pizza every single day for the rest of your life. You'll be happy. Case closed. Yep. NASA, call me anytime you want. I know exactly what to make these people happy. Am I wrong? The ufologist has got to have something to say about this.
I told you, I'm still stuck on the bug spray.
Yeah, this is so what, your goal in life is to find the aliens that are investigating Earth to ask them how can we get rid of
mosquitoes.
The mosquitoes
oh, wait,
and the
nets. So wait, this is already populated, this other Earth?
It will be once I've set up my pizza place.
Oh, well it's different though, because if it's populated, I don't have to bring anything, right?
I didn't say it was populated, that's it. It's me, my wife, and the other couple, that's it.
But if it supports life, why wouldn't it be populated?
Well, then I'll make a lot of money on pizza because I'm sure they don't have it there.
Do they have a space station?
Have a ship.
How are you sure that they don't have pizza? How are you sure?
So the name of the planet is Kepler 22b or Proxima. They don't have much.
That's our name of it. They coincidentally have the same
people
name.
People do not have much.
Oh, wow. You're spot on.
Maybe,
it is Kepler. That's what we named
pizza.
It.
Maybe they have better pizza.
They don't have much imagination at all. You're kidding. They're eating their little, oatmeal breakfast
Grain.
And that's it. By the way, you can have oatmeal as well. You have yourself a nice, listen to that sound. They're coming. They like my story. I will be back when Everything Old is New to investigate this. And now we're going to talk about, next section, some ancient discoveries on Earth related to UFOs with ufologist John Viviani.
Everything Old is New Again with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Why are you touching the microphone?
Because I want to. It feels like a stuffed animal.
Okay.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with Leo Viviani there, lending credibility to our broadcast here with David Cohen and the extraordinaire ufologist from Melville, New York, Dr. John Viviani. We're talking about and have been talking about UFOs and alien societies and the new discoveries this year. Now I want to talk about and pivot a little bit, as they say, and talk about advanced technology that has been found on Earth. Unearthed carbon dated to whether it be 10,000 to 500,000 years ago. And the question is, and we're going to go through this, why and how did these things develop? Why are they on Earth? What happened? Dr. Viviani, I know there was a spark plug, believe it or not, was found in 1961, and it was dated, it was found and x-rayed in rock, and it was basically, I guess you could call this a fossil, and the fossil is 500,000 years old. Doctor, go.
That's 500,000, by the way.
Yes.
Now,
wait, just to clarify, this was a spark plug they found.
It's a metal object within a rock that's shaped like a spark plug that has circular, like spiral dimensions. First of all, the metallurgy, when did we start making metal objects? When did we start making metal objects? In the, I don't know, a couple hundred years ago? A thousand years ago, maybe? The object, let me just be clear about this, has a metal core surrounded by layers of ceramic-like material and a hexagon wooden sleeve. When X-rayed, the object seemed to resemble a modern spark plug or some other electronic component. A half a million years ago, they found that in California, Olancha, California. Why? What are you talking about? Oh. How is this possible?
Well, there's only two explanations in my mind. One is that we are
say it.
We had technology a half a million years ago or more that was more advanced than even today.
Or what do you mean we mean Earth. But I don't think humans were around 500,000
years ago. No, that's what I'm saying.
Ago.
Maybe they were.
No, they weren't, and Doug. They were not.
Maybe they were, and then they blew themselves up.
I mean, the dinosaurs didn't create
this. Planet of the Apes? Beneath the Planet of the Apes?
This is the thing. This has to have been a visitation, or there's a time travel. Something's going on to put that object
there.
No,
seriously. It was either extraterrestrial, or we had the technology ourselves, which was lost technology.
All right. 1851 in Illinois. Okay? I want you to see. He listened to this now. This fellow by the name of Hiram DeWitt found a fist-sized chunk of quartz while on a trip to California. Again, to California. When he accidentally slipped from his hands, it split open and fell open. This piece of course opened up, and they found a very old nail, 1 million years old.
What did they find?
A nail? A nail.
Oh, I thought you said mail, like an envelope address.
Again, it was a cut.
Well, that's possible, too. The stamp, you know,
the post office.
It was a million years.
Cut nail. It wasn't natural. It wasn't a natural object. It was metal that was forged and cut, and it's surrounded
by... Explain it.
So I can't explain it. That's the whole point.
Well, you're a ufologist. What do you mean you can't explain it? You have to have some theory.
My personal theory.
Thank you.
Is that there was technology evidence on the Earth a million years ago, half a million years ago, that was somehow lost. Maybe we blew ourselves up. Maybe it was from aliens. I don't know.
But humans weren't here a half a
Who says they weren't? Maybe they were.
Oh, well, I think we know that.
That's the whole thing, our timeline.
I thought that was proven.
Well, you're saying our timeline.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, it goes against
the... So they were visitors. In other words, you're saying visitors came here and did
this. That's what I'm saying.
Somebody was here.
Of course, exactly.
It wasn't a natural form.
Not our ancestors. This is technology from some other...
Maybe, guys, have you thought about maybe the dinosaurs were a little more adept at this stuff than we give them credit for?
No.
Have you thought about that?
No. How about in 1865, a 2-inch metal screw was discovered in a piece of, I don't know what you call this.
Feldspar.
Okay, in Treasure City, Nevada. All right, the screw had long ago oxidized, but its form, particularly the shape of its threads, could clearly be seen. The stone is calculated to be 21 million years old. Explain.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, they had fine motor skills.
Site examples. Right,
you're asking,
well, either,
you're expecting an answer?
Either our
dating, we're going to have an answer.
Either our dating techniques are wrong and these things aren't that old.
Doug's dating techniques have always been wrong.
Or the geology is not processing the way that we think it does. And the history of life on this planet is different than we think. Something's going on that we don't know.
You've got to give us an answer, but next time you come back here. Here we go. 1991 to 93, gold prospectors in Russia found unusual,
close enough,
mostly spiral-shaped objects, the smallest of which measuring 1/10,000th of an inch. The objects, you don't like the way it's
thanks, Daffy.
The objects are composed of copper and rare metals.
1/10,000th of an inch. So these are like electronic filaments.
20,000 to 318,000 years old. Go.
And for our radio audience, I have a picture of it right here.
Yes, I'll put that on the website. So what are you saying? What is that? That looks like what?
This looks like a electronic filament for.
What's a filament?
It conducts electricity, you know, or like a diode or
something
like
you use for an electronic device.
Electronic device found that's 20,000 years old at least.
If you were to visit.
Oh, by the way, these were found not just in one spot. These were found in many spots in Russia. It wasn't just one find. There are many of them.
So we're calling them nanotechnology because they're extraordinarily small.
Yes.
So could this have been some piece of some kind of alien technology that was used on Earth, and then they took off and they left a couple of items here? Like we left on the moon, we left the couple of pieces.
Oh, there's no question in my mind this was left by aliens.
Listen, thank you.
No, seriously.
Thank you.
I think you've proven that.
These things are unexplainable. They are there. You can't deny that they're there. They are there. We don't know.
I can deny that they're there. How do you know that's not just a fabrication? Somebody took a photo of
the
filament.
No, this is legitimate.
We found this 10 years ago in the Nevada desert, and we've said it's
right. Bradford, go back to the bottom. We didn't ask you to come visit us, Bradford Marsalis. Oh, Bradford. Bradford, what's the guy's last name that we have on our show? All right, so here's the other one. I have one.
Oh, what about the vase?
The mysterious vase, an 1851 Scientific American. Now, this is legit advertisation. Reprinted every
quarter. It's legit. Why does your voice go up when you say it?
From the Boston transcript of how a metallic vase found in two parts was made 15 feet below the surface of the earth. A bell-shaped vase, see the photo, by the way, measuring 4.5 inches high and 6.5 inches at its base, was composed of zinc and silver alloy. On the sides are figures of flowers in the bouquet, an arrangement, an inlet with pure silver.
How old was this?
100,000 years. A vase dated 100,000 years ago. No one was on the earth making vases 100,000
years
ago.
Well, but it says 100,000 years ago, give or take 99,999 years.
No,
so there's a sampling error in there. It could have been last year.
Look at the vase. Look at that picture. Look at that. Dr. Viviani, explain this to me.
Again, I cannot explain it.
Why not?
My theory, it's like I said, somebody was around with this technology years ago. I don't know who it was. Right. But
if you're visiting a planet, you're not bringing a vase.
Why not?
A vase, you're coming. Why people lived here.
There was a civilization here, is what I'm telling you. Whether it was from aliens or us that and then blew ourselves up or something happened.
Well, you're assuming it's a vase. Maybe it had some other function.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter because it was predated our ability to make these things.
Right. So it was brought here from some other planet.
No, we could have made it ourselves.
Here's
if
we.
It was an advanced civilization.
Oh, so you're not saying aliens.
I'm not saying it could have been
you're
aliens.
You're saying it was another race of humans that were here.
How is that possible?
Listen, I got to go to the bathroom, guys. I've had enough.
We've never somebody made it. It's not an imagination.
That's outrageous. We have never found any evidence on Earth of skeletons or humans being here at this time of frame. This has to have been a visitation from someone else from another planet. Has to have been because human beings were not here. Thank you, Dr. Viviani, for being here on Everything Old is New Again. All right, listen, Everything Old is New Again is on the internet. EverythingOldIsNewAgain.biz. Communicate with us. oldnewagain@AOL.com. We'll see you next week. What do you think, Dave?
Communicate with us, especially if you're not from this world.